And now, it's time for our weekly news round. Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod at its recent convention in Wisconsin approved a measure that will forbid so-called licensed lay deacons from serving as pastors. Deacons who have been preaching in public or administering communion at least 2 years and are over 50 will be referred to a colloquy program to be ordained as specific ministry pastor. Others will need to pursue alternative routes to ordination starting in 2018. Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is a conservative-leaning network of 6,000 churches whose roots are in Northern Europe. Though the headquarters is in Kirkwood, more than 2 million members are spread across the country. Like many other churches, the Synod struggles to find new blood in the US, both in the pews and at the pulpit. The decline helped motivate some men, often in remote and inner-city areas, to bypass 4 years of seminary training to serve a congregation in need. While the pool of men, the church ordains only men, answering the call to enter seminary and serve as pastors, has shrunk in recent decades, some members wanted to enforce higher standards on ministers who aren't ordained and strip away the licensed lay deacon credentials. Since the Synod made efforts in 1989 to officially allow trained deacons to serve as pastors in exceptional situations, the grassroots practice of elevating a parishioner from within a congregation to ministry has exploded to include more than 500 people. The Reverend Matthew Harrison, president of the Synod, has said the Lutheran Church has gone far beyond the controversial action taken in 1989 at a convention in Wichita, Kansas, that created the deacon program. While deacons won't be able to preach, the Synod says they will still be able to serve in supporting roles such as visiting the sick, education, outreach, evangelism, and church planning. Addressing the concern of those who fear this resolution threaten the future existence of licensed lay deacons in the Synod, the Reverend Dr. Roger Pavola, chairman of Committee 13, Roots of Ministry, stated, "This does not discontinue the availability of licensed lay deacons in any district." The goal of the resolution, he continued, is to enlist, encourage, and enable these men to be able to receive what it is that is necessary so that they can proclaim the gospel. Nearly 22,000 young adults from around the USA and the world spent 5 days in New Orleans for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod National Youth Gathering in July. Organizers say it's important now more than ever to make sure children have the opportunity. It's tough to be a Christian teenager and to feel bold about your faith and confessing that. So when you bring 22,000 young people and we say it together, "I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior," and we worship Him together, there's power in that, said Pam Nielsen with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Communications Department. Aside from growing in their faith, the youth also spent time planting seeds of kindness and love around New Orleans. They participated in the Habitat for Humanity build and packaged more than 500,000 healthy meals for people in need. And when tragedy struck in Baton Rouge that weekend, they made sure to do something to help that too. "We had 174 units of Lutheran blood going to Baton Rouge, and I think by the end of the week we will probably have surpassed 500 units, and we really made a difference in the local blood supply," said Nielsen. "Knowing that my sins are forgiven, that empowers me to serve my community, serve others, and make difference in my part of the world," said the Reverend Matthew Harrison, the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Archbishop of Rouen, leading Tuesday's solemn funeral mass for an elderly priest slain a week ago by two extremists, said the Reverend Jacques Hamel tried to push away his attacker with his feet, saying, "Go away, Satan." Remarks that underscored the horror of the murder at the altar that touched a chord throughout France. Hundreds of priests and bishops filled the sumptuous Rouen Cathedral, along with many hundreds more people, including Muslims, who have joined in the grieving since the murder of the 85-year-old priest, slashed by his attackers while celebrating morning mass. Hamel's grisly murder sent shockwaves that went beyond his humble work as a small-town parish priest, touching other faiths and all of France. It came less than 2 weeks after 84 people were killed in an attack by a hurtling truck in Nice on a crowd of Bastille Day revelers. "Evil is a mystery. It reaches heights of horror that takes us out of the human," Archbishop Dominique Lebrun told the two-hour mass. Isn't that what you wanted to say, Jacques, with your last words, when you fell to the ground? After you were struck by the knife, you tried to push away your assailants with your feet and said, "Go away, Satan." You repeated it, "Go away, Satan." With those words, LeBron said, you expressed your faith in the goodness of humans and that the devil put his claws in. Rosalind Hamel, the priest's sister, told the crowd, "Let's learn to live together. Let's be workers for peace." Interior Minister Bernard Cazeneuve, also in charge of faiths, was also among those attending the Mass in the Cathedral, which dates from the 12th century. Hundreds of people watched the ceremony on a big screen outside under constant rain. LeBrun, celebrating the Mass, extended thanks to Catholics attending the service, but also to believers of other religious faiths, in particular the Jewish community and the Muslim community, very affected and already decided to unite for Never Again. LeBrun invited people to return to churches in August the 15th, the day celebrating the Assumption of Mary, to express that violence will not take over in their hearts. On Sunday, dozens of Muslims in France and Italy attended Catholic masses as a gesture of interfaith solidarity following the attack on the priest. The Islamic State group claimed responsibility for the attack, in which the priests, two nuns and an elderly couple were held hostage before the assailant slashed the priest's throat and seriously wounded the other man. Another nun at the mass slipped away and raised the alarm, and police shot to death both attackers as they left the church. Tuesday's ceremony was organized under tight security and the burial was private. Meanwhile, several cities and towns across the country have decided to cancel traditional August fireworks shows and other outdoor summer events, citing security reasons. Archaeologists believe they have found a Dark Age palace at Tintagel in Cornwall, which scholars have long argued is the birthplace of King Arthur. The palace is believed to date from the 6th century, around the same period as the legend of King Arthur. They believe the 1 meter thick walls being unearthed are from a 6th century palace belonging to the rulers of an ancient southwest British kingdom known as Dumnonia. Excavations have been taking place at the site as part of a 5-year research project being run by English Heritage at the 13th century Tintagel Castle in Cornwall to find out more about the historic site from the 5th to the 7th centuries AD. Using cutting-edge techniques, Cornwall Archaeological Unit, the CAU, part of Cornwall Council, have discovered the walls of the palace and more than 150 fragments of pottery and glass, which have been imported to the site from exotic locations across the globe, indicating it was inhabited by wealthy individuals. Finds include shreds of imported late Roman amphorae, fragments of fine glass, and the rim of a Phoenician red slipware, which is the first shard of fine tableware found on the site. Made in Western Turkey and dating from the 5th or 6th centuries AD, experts say it is the fragment of a bowl or a large dish which may have been used for sharing food during feasting and has travelled a huge distance to arrive at Tintagel. English Heritage's Properties Curator for the West, Wynne Scuff, said this is the most significant archaeological project at Tintagel since the 1990s. The 3-week dig is the first step in a 5-year research program to answer some key questions about Tintagel and Cornwall's past. The discovery of high-status buildings, potentially a royal palace complex at Tintagel, is transforming our understanding of the site. We're cutting a small window into the site's history to guide wider excavations next year. We'll also be gathering samples for analysis. It's when these samples are studied in the laboratory that the fun really starts, and we'll begin to unearth Tintagel's secrets. Geophysical surveys of the terraces early in the year detected the walls and layers of the buried buildings, and the archaeologists have discovered 2 rooms around 11 meters long and 4 meters wide. Tintagel is one of Europe's most important archaeological sites. The remains of the castle, built in the 1230s and 1240s by Richard, Earl of Cornwall, brother of Henry III, stand among the remains of a much earlier medieval settlement where experts believed high-status leaders may have lived and traded with far-off shores, importing exotic goods and trading tin. The earliest accounts about King Arthur have come from the accounts of a 6th century monk called Gildas, who wrote about Arthur's life. Myanmar's Christian population has seen the most dramatic shift in numbers, according to latest figures revealed in a supplement to the 2014 Population and Housing Census conducted by the UN Population Fund, UNFPA. Christians now make up 6.2% of the population, more than 3 million people, compared to 4.9% recorded the last time a full census was conducted in 1983. The religious data is the latest in a staggered release of volumes published over the last 2 years. Some commentators say it was delayed to avoid a backlash from nationalists, anticipating a sharp rise in non-Buddhist religions, which they feel threaten Myanmar's Buddhist identity. The UNFPA, however, said in 2015 that it would release information on ethnicity and religion in 2016 because it required more time for analysis and consultation. Christianity remains the second most popular religion. Buddhism had a fall of 1% since the 1983 census, but with almost 88% of the population identifying as Buddhists, it remains the dominant religion. Hinduism showed small gains, while animism and Islam showed a decline, although the census didn't count the estimated 1 million Rohingya Muslims considered as non-citizens. If they had been included, it would have brought the Muslim population to 4% instead of 2%. The latest report showed that half of Myanmar's 3 million Christians live in the states of Shan, Kachin and Chin. More than 85% say they are Christian in Chin, which is the only state that doesn't have a Buddhist majority. Armed conflict in Kachin and Kayin states prevented the full collection of data, but the UN estimates that the religious makeup of those states will not significantly alter the proportion of Christians in the country. The relationship between both the Kachin and Karen ethnic groups, the two mainly identify as Christian, and the government is tense and exacerbated by slow progress in identifying and prosecuting perpetrators of the many documented cases of sexual assault in the states by Myanmar troops. In Karen, Christians have also recently been threatened by a spate of Buddhist nationalists illegally building pagodas on church grounds. And finally, it is often said that hell hath no fury, like a woman scorned. But one cheated wife went to extraordinary lengths to exact revenge on her husband's mistress. Tired of playing second fiddle to her husband's paramour, the jealous 41-year-old mother of four triggered a bomb scare at Geneva Airport in an effort to stop her going on holiday, prosecutors said last week. Following her forced tip on Tuesday, the airport sought massive security operation at a colossal cost that included a full evacuation of the terminal, the rescreening of 13,000 passengers, and the deployment of 20 additional guards. Several flights were delayed by the chaos. Swiss authorities traced the hoaxer to the French town of Annecy, where she lived, less than 1 hour from Geneva's airport by car. The woman, who was not named, was sentenced at a court in Annecy to 6 months' prison, of which she will have to serve at least 3 months. Here we have a case of a wounded woman, married for 22 years, who only made a bomb threat out of frustration, the woman's lawyer said. My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone, and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.